listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, America, and welcome to America's Web Radio, the Dan and Dave show. Not fiasco. That wouldn't be right, would it? Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dave. Hey, I got a question.
One?
I'm a little embarrassed. I showed up for work this morning, and I discovered I hadn't shaved yet. So, I hope our audience will forgive me, but I'm pretty ratty looking.
And you don't smell very good either.
No. I knew you would forgive me because you're just that kind of guy. You're a forgiving guy.
I am?
But, yeah. Well, I did have my oatmeal.
I had my oatmeal. I took my shower, but I didn't shave. Then again, I don't see anybody today that of any import, so, to heck with it. But it was cold here. 21
really?
When I came into the office.
21. Ouch.
That's for Atlanta. That's getting down there. That's cool. We're supposed to have some more cool weather, and then it'll start warming back up a little bit. And then I think we're going to have the big blast in February. I think we're going to get the snow and ice and all the garbage that goes with it in February. That's my prediction. As is my prediction, I don't know if you heard it today, but as is my prediction, you've heard it from me before, you're hearing it again. Joe Biden will be running for president and will probably win, to our dismay. But the FBI came out with more today. The FBI is going to paint Obama and Hillary into a corner, in that they are going to have proof positive that the lady should be prosecuted for basically acts of treason. And if the DOJ doesn't do it, then there's going to be hell to pay. And if they do it, well, then, she's going to have to drop out of the race and defend herself, which quite likely I don't think she's going to be able to do. So Obama will give her a pardon. Joe Biden will come out of the bathroom finally and say, "Oh well, I'm gonna save the country and run. I regret not running, but I'm gonna run now." And so everybody will gaga and goo goo over him, and that'll be that. And we will have Joe Biden.
That's an interesting scenario. I'm still not convinced that Biden can come back and run. I'm trying to find out what the pundits say, but
it doesn't matter.
I don't think the pundits have picked this up yet.
He will run. It doesn't matter what anything is. If Obama has deemed it that he will run, he will run. It's just like what's happening, and this is a great segue into it. It upsets me beyond words that this thing in our White House and our spineless Congress is letting him get away with everything under the sun, has sworn now that they will close Guantanamo. They're releasing another prisoner in the next day or two. They will release them all, and then they're going to give Guantanamo back to Cuba. Now, which is all illegal as hell, but everything that son of a bitch does is illegal as hell.
And now, is this based on an executive order, or
yep,
is this something
yep,
different?
Yep, no, executive order.
Executive order.
And we should have a revolt. The citizens, we need Guantanamo. They will be giving away billions, trillions of dollars in American taxpayers' dollars that have built the state-of-the-art dock and shipping dock facility in Guantanamo Bay. And it's not that son of a bitch's to give away. It belongs to the American people. We have leased it from Cuba on a indefinite lease, and he has no power, and the people best speak up. That is a very important base. To hell with the damn Muslims and the prison that's there. That is not what makes it important. It is a strategic base for the Navy.
You know, okay, let's negotiate with Cuba. Let's give them Guantanamo, and in turn, they give us back our Hellfire missile. Are you aware that Cuba, that we shipped to Cuba a testing version of the Hellfire missile? And testing version, I mean, it's fully capable, except it had no explosives on it. So it was shipped from Europe to Cuba by mistake, apparently.
Well, I'll let them have one Hellfire missile. I want to keep Guantanamo, period. It is a very important base, more so than folks understand. It is a strategic, and Obama, people have to understand, he has overstepped everything. He can't give it away legally. It's not his to give. It's not his to shut. It's not his anything. And if he tries, that's when we should call for impeachment, treason, shoot the son of a bitch. I don't care. I just, you know, he has gone way far beyond. And just because...
What makes you think he's going to try to do that?
What his spokesman is... his guy, McDonough, or whatever his name is.
Well, he says he's going to close the base, yeah, but I haven't heard him say that he's going to give it back to the Cuban country.
Oh, yeah. What else is he? Oh, yeah. That's, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if in the negotiations under the table, that stupid Kerry under the table wasn't negotiating, hey, we'll get rid of the prisoners, then we won't have a need for Guantanamo, and we'll give it back to you. There's no telling what they've done, but the public best speak up and say, we don't care that you got another year to go. You're out of here. We've had it. You know, this is very serious. It's beyond serious. So, with that being said, you and I have had I'm going to beat on this until hell freezes over. We can't give away Guantanamo. With that, though, we have a segue into the bastards that are there that killed us, the Talheads, the Islams, the Muslims, whatever you want to call the creeps. But you and I have been having a discussion, and I want to put it out to our audience and any and everyone that listens to the show. Maybe with my attitude, it'd be better if... Do you want to explain what I'm going to ask?
Oh, go ahead. It's Monday morning. You have the Monday morning attitude, so...
Well, you're
into it, brother.
You're the one that's been studying the... hang on one second. Say something, Dan. I gotta catch a line right quick.
I've been reading a book. It's the Infidel's Guide to the Quran. And actually, I haven't found it to be that exciting a book to read, but it does point out, it helps me understand a little bit about the writing of the Quran, the message that it delivers, and some peculiarities of the Quran. This author, in the quotes that he pulls, he shows that the Quran is not very logical, and that the verses in the Quran are not chronologically ordered, but they're in the order of size. So the longest verse is first, and the shorter verse comes towards the end of the Quran.
I got to stop you. You say Quran. Other people say Quran. And it's spelled two or three different ways. first, how do you spell it?
Well, it's probably an Arabic spelling. It's an Arabic spelling that's been translated to English, so there probably are several different English translations. The way I've seen it is K-O-R-A-N.
Okay, I've seen it Q-U-R-A-N.
Yeah.
Quran. And you say it, you don't say Quran, you say Quran, and other people say Quran. So I
could say it either way. I could say it either way. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't know about that book. It's shorter than the Bible. Muhammad is a prophet who God Allah has. And I say Allah, and you probably say Allah. But Allah had spoken to Muhammad and given him most of the text for the Quran. And Muhammad is this guy who is fairly illiterate from what I read, but yet Allah has given him the verse to write down, and somehow, I guess, instructed Muhammad how to write. Allah is a jealous God, a very jealous God, and he has no son. In fact, it says in several areas that there is but one Allah with no offspring. I can't remember the term they use, but it means no son or daughter. So,
well, he wouldn't have a daughter,
Allah,
from what I understand.
Allah is definitely a different God than the Christian God. However, it appears that the Quran has taken parts of the Bible and twisted it a little bit and put it into the Quran. So it's like it's as though Muhammad heard stories about Jesus or stories about some of the apostles and what they said, and then related it to somebody, and somebody else related it, and then they sketched it out, and then Muhammad got it back and put it in the Quran. It's a little twisted. It's like that old game that we used to play. You'd sit in a circle, and you'd go to the left and say something, and then it would pass it around. It would come back to you, and it would come back to you totally different.
No, I
and that's kind of.
Go ahead.
That's kind of what it reminds me of.
From what you're saying, it's the Talheds are plagiarists as well.
Well, I'm not using the word plagiarism.
I did.
But I you did. I think they're retelling some of the Christian stories, but...
making it sound like they're heroes.
They're somewhat incorrect.
Yeah. Okay.
They're claiming that Jesus is a Muslim.
With that all said, we're going to take a break, and then Jesus is a Muslim?
Yeah.
In their dream. Okay. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll put forward the question that I've had. We'll be back right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gano. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. And Dan, I want to get the question out that you and I have talked about, and I hope that somebody will email us, David at America's Web Radio or Dan at America's Web Radio, and we can address this issue and get an answer to it. As things have progressed, basically since 2001, we've always heard the term moderate Muslim. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you've been studying the Quran, whatever, or at least reading the book about it and so forth. In the Quran, it says that everyone that's not a believer in Allah, in the Muslim faith or whatever, is an infidel, and that all Muslims, if they are believers of the Quran, they're readers of the Quran, which also encompasses Sharia law, that they can lie, cheat, steal, do whatever they want to do to get the infidel, and that in that they should treat the infidel, either they should convert the infidel, they should capture and enslave the infidel, or they should kill the infidel. Now, that, am I correct in that that's in the Quran and part of it?
You know, I think that's a very loose interpretation. I don't disagree with your interpretation, but I haven't exactly found those words in this guy's book.
Okay, well, take my word for it from people that have read the Quran that's in the Quran. You know?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that interpretation, so let's call it good and move on.
Okay, so with that being said, if I quote in quote am a Muslim, I may call myself a moderate, but if I believe in the Quran, then that's part of what I believe in, either convert, enslave, or kill. So how can I be considered a moderate Muslim if I believe in the Quran and Sharia law and what it promotes? Now, I could lie to you and say I'm a moderate Muslim, wink, wink, blink, blink, whatever, whatever, but still in my heart of hearts say, well, I got a knife that's a big sucker for Dan. When he turns his back, that's if he doesn't convert, I'm going to either enslave him or I'm going to cut his head off. So how can you be both a moderate and a believer in the Quran? I can't buy that. So there's something wrong there. So I'd like somebody to explain how a true believer in the Quran, like you're a true believer in the Bible, I'm a true believer in the Bible, but if you're a true believer in the Quran, how can you call yourself a moderate?
Yeah, you know, from the Christian perspective, I know a lot of people that call themselves Christians that don't believe in the Bible, or they'll say that the Bible has, you know, different interpretations and it allows for different meanings, that the Bible is not to be taken word for word, that it's kind of a loose interpretation of what God's message was. And perhaps there's Muslims that feel the same way. And maybe that's where the moderate Muslims are. They see, Allah's word as, maybe not being exactly written. Although, that's one of the big things about the Quran, is that most Muslims believe that the Quran is holy, that it's the whole word of God. You know, it's the whole accurate word of God, which a lot of Christians don't believe about the Bible. Did I twist that around enough to make it confusing?
Well, I think, too, that the Quran, and again, I got into it with an individual this past weekend, that I don't know where in the Bible that it says go out and kill people. Many people have tried to use the passage an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but if you read around it, that's not exactly what it says. But anyway, I don't know any place in the Bible that it says convert, enslave, or kill. And the Quran does. And they try to promote the Quran as we're a peaceful faith or whatever, or religion. I don't see it. And as you read more in the book that you're reading, I hope that we can come back and you can clarify some of the points. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong many, many times in my life. But I just can't buy the moderate thing.
I don't think you're wrong, but I don't have a... I can't speak as a scholar. I can just give you my feeling and... not speaking as a scholar, but I agree with what you're saying. I think those feelings and sentiments and instruction are in the Quran. It's a tough one for me. You know, I don't want to come out. I have feelings. I have very strong feelings about Islam people and the Muslim faith, but I don't want to come out and say anything unless I can sort of back it up with reading or with better understanding, and so I'm in the process of getting that better understanding. And I'm searching for my book, and I can't find it. I think my wife threw it away. I don't know what happened to it.
Well, I don't think it will be in our lifetime, but they're going to have to be stopped. And if they want to take over and rule the deserts of the Middle East, that's fine. But as Americans, we better not give them our pasture land. We've already given in too much. It needs to stop. It needs to stop at the borders. It needs to stop from an immigration standpoint. I think they've already proven themselves wonderful people in Germany. The Germans are ready to start kicking them out. They have, all they know is to kill and to fight. And that's all they want to do. Take and kill and fight. Take lands so they can call it their own. But they don't care whose land it is, what land it is. They just want to take land. So, people better wake up.
I guess the thing that scares me about that kind of rhetoric is that if our fight is just against the radical Muslim, we don't want to have to fight the whole Muslim people. There's 1.4 billion. We don't want to pick a fight there. And if we're not very articulate with our battle plan, I'm afraid that we're going to include that 1.4 billion people. We're going to make them have to fight us.
Well, I think that's something we've got to we've got to look at. And you know, I tell you, there's not much media coverage on this, but I see what they're trying to do. The Muslims are trying to take over the United States. They're very sneaky bastards. They come in, they open their mosque and all, you know, very quietly and da-da-da-da, and then they start spreading out. Like, you know, the call to prayer in Detroit, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
Let's put the Christian call to prayer in there with them. Let's ring the bells at the Catholic Church. You can't do that, but you can have the stupid call to prayer of the towel heads in Detroit. Now, what I started to say is that you don't hear a whole lot about, but is certainly out there, and that is that China, Russia, and many other countries are having problems. They resolve them fast, but it's like, you know, they hit one on the head and another one pops up. And the Muslims are not sitting still in the world. They're looking at taking over the world. And they're in many other countries. We know France, we know Germany, you know. But if they have infiltrated and have set up in China and Russia, I think that should scare the hell out of all of us.
Well, and I believe Japan is closed to Muslims. I don't think you can bring a Quran into Japan.
Good for Japan. I think I'm packing my bags.
Yeah. You know, it's like I say, I don't disagree with what you're saying because I read the news. I see what's going on in Germany. It makes me think that that you can't trust Muslims. And if that's true, you know, the problem is just huge.
Yeah.
The problem is it's one that we can't really overcome. And the truth is that Muslims reproduce at a higher rate than most of the rest of the world. So given time, we will become a Muslim world just based upon higher birth rates.
Yep, and that's what they're trying to...
They don't have to do it militarily. But... You know, there's no place under the U.S. Constitution for Sharia law.
And yet we have states that are already accepting it, which...
That's true, yeah.
I just find totally revolting, disgusting.
Yep. Good old American political correctness.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when we get back, speaking of political correctness, I would like to address, and I know he's one of your favorite, though, is Sean Penn. And that, as far as I'm concerned, when they found out that he was down shaking hands with El Chapo or whatever, that as soon as he came back into the United States, I feel like he should have been arrested. So we'll let people ponder that, and we'll take our second break. You're listening to America's Web Radio, the Dan and Dave Show. We'll be right back.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren, on Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Okay, Dan, we put the question out about can you be a Quran-loving moderate? And then we sort of segue into this deal with Sean Penn. You know, I really respect the Aussies in that you don't like it here, then get the hell out. If you're going to stay here, then you should be a good American citizen. That doesn't mean that you have to go along with everything that that idiot in the White House says or anything else. But you don't, what's the word, cavort with the enemy or with the number one wanted person in the world or Chavez when he was alive or enemies of the state should not be your friends, and you have no real reason to meet with them, and you're no representative of anything or anybody. And as far as I'm concerned, Sean Penn, when he walked back into the States after being with El Chapo, whatever-o, he should have been arrested and charged with abetting or something. I think abetting would be a good, you know.
It's interesting. I see a Rolling Stone photograph here on online, and it's Sean Penn shaking hands with Shorty.
Yeah.
And if you didn't know either one of them, and you were asked which is the drug dealer, you would quickly say it was Sean Penn. I mean, Sean Penn he's got a rough, uncut beard. His hair is all messed up and down in his eyes. Shorty is very, he has a sports shirt on. His hair's combed. His mustache is neatly trimmed. It's funny. It's a funny photograph. I don't think you can arrest somebody he's with. He was there as a journalist.
He's not a journalist.
To get an article. I know you don't care about that, but he went to write an article about Shorty.
Well, I think if he was legitimate, if he were, then he would have said, reported that that's what he doesn't work for anybody. He's not an established journalist. He's a lying piece of garbage that wants to make headlines by doing exactly what he did.
Well, now, he has a political agenda. He's a leftist. He definitely has a liberal, progressive agenda.
My hope is that
he has power because of his notoriety, his wealth,
and
his on-screen persona. He's got power.
Well, my hope is that Chapo realizes that Sean Penn was part of the reason for his capture, and that he'll take him out.
You know, the person that put that meeting together was Kate Del Castillo, and she could hook me up with a meeting with El Chapo if she wanted to. I mean, she is gorgeous. She's drop-dead gorgeous.
She's a TV soap opera.
Well, an actress or something. But she apparently arranged the meeting. Now, I don't know how Shorty feels about all of this, because shortly after he met with Sean Penn, he was arrested. Mm-hmm. So does he think that maybe Kate Del Castillo gave him up, or maybe Sean Penn gave him up? Ugh. I wouldn't want to be on that end of Shorty's thought process. You might not live too long.
Well, another little tidbit that I heard that, you know, with our worldwide investigational abilities, I can't prove it one way or the other, but supposedly Chapo had sent his engineers to Germany to be trained to dig the tunnel that he escaped through. They were tunnel builders, but they weren't carrying his body, so he wanted to make sure the tunnel was safe for him, and he sent his engineers to Germany. Now, if the Germans knew who they were getting, you know, in training, does liability lie with them as well?
No, that's interesting. I hadn't heard that. How interesting. I mean, what an interesting guy that he went to that extent. It's amazing. It's amazing he got out of that jail. Even if the authorities just totally turned their back, it's amazing that they could have dug a tunnel that was that long.
Well, again, I heard yesterday about it that, you know, you have a guard that's making $100 a month in Mexico.
Yeah.
And you say, look, here's the deal, guard. I'll give you $500,000 to turn your back. Or if you don't want that $500,000, then you turn your back because I'm going to kill your family.
Yeah.
So which way are we going? You know, that he has a way with negotiating. He wrote The Art of Negotiating, whereas Trump wrote The Art of the Deal. Well, you know. Which gun do you want to be blown away with, mine or
yeah.
the government's?
Well, why doesn't that same argument work in the U.S.? The U.S. is lobbying very hard to have him come. You know, he would be a good guy for Guantanamo.
Well, actually, he'd be a better guy. Where the U.S. wants to put him is at, 300 feet underground in Colorado, where you basically... Out of 23 hours, you're out of your cell for 1 hour a day.
Mm.
And you basically don't see the light of day ever.
Mm.
Not a night in your cell. I don't know. It's ridiculous. It's like 6x9 or something like that. I mean, it's... You got a concrete bed and basically a concrete toilet. And that's it.
Yeah, and you probably don't know the names and home addresses of your guards either.
I doubt it. That I can think of that place, and it drives me nuts, you know?
Puts chills down my back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just any place but there. But that's where the guy, the Oklahoma bomber, the partner or whatever, I realize that the other guy's been killed, but and just... All of the bad are in the maximum prison in Colorado. That's where they want to put this guy. And there really isn't any escaping. You know, you there and you're there, and you ain't going.
Yeah, the
nowhere.
Unabomber is there.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see what you know.
Yeah.
At what point do they? I mean, that would drive me crazy in a very short period of time. Very, very short period of time. No windows, no nothing. You're there.
Yeah.
You know,
Ramzi Youssef is there. He was the mastermind for the 1993 attack on the World Trade Center. Interesting. And Terry Nichols, you mentioned him. Oof. Yeah, and there's a couple of guys that are spies. Anyway, what's going to happen in Germany? You brought that up a few minutes ago. No more Syrian immigrants into Germany. What are we going to see? What's going to be the fallout? Merkel's really taken heat on this.
Well, and well she should, you know.
And well she should. I mean, it was a very wide open door all of 2015. She welcomed more than a million immigrants.
Well,
Muslim immigrants.
You know, I would hope. I don't. I think my hope is hot air, but I would hope that the rest of the world wakes up and says, "Hey, maybe we don't want these people." You know, and again, it's hard to not paint them all with the same brush, but the fact of the matter is, you're going to, quote, end quote, you're going to have bad apples in all crowds, but the crowd better be able to take care of the bad apples. They should get rid of them. We shouldn't. Germany shouldn't. We shouldn't have to. And I think it should be, the door swings both ways, and I'd send the son of a bitches back where they came from, and I don't think there's any ifs, ands, and buts. It's sort of like the we talk about everybody's worried about how many Mexicans are coming across the southern border. I'm more concerned about how many terrorists are coming across the southern border, and we're not doing what we need to be doing there. So, you know, I think what's happened in Germany, what's happened in France, you know, the actions speak louder than words. We see what they're capable of doing, so why do we want to have it here? Stop them before it ever starts.
Maybe you're aware of the argument, but I'm not, of why we don't have some kind of facility within Syria to take care of people who have been bombed or starved out of their homes. Why don't we have an aid camp in Syria that's protected, that gets, you know, food shipments, they're taken care of in Syria so that when this bloody war is over, they can go home. They're right here. They can go home. That apparently is what a lot of them really want. They don't want to be here or Germany. You know, they want their Syrian. They want to be in Syria. So why don't we facilitate that and put up a, you know, it would be much less expensive to do it there.
Oh, absolutely. You want to know why? Because the United Nations is more concerned about taking over the world through playing greeny-weeny than they are about people and what we should do for people. And supposedly an organization like the United Nations, they should be the one that stepped in and set something like, I agree with what you're saying. I totally agree. The no-fly zone, that's what they wanted to set up at one time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I agree, but like you said, why didn't we? You know, it's... We have a very, very stupid, naive... I don't think they're even naive. I think they're just greedy as hell. They only care about themselves, and that goes from Obama down, or whoever is president, down to the lowest person in Congress and takes in the Supreme Court as well. They only care about themselves. They don't give a damn about Dan. They don't give a damn about David. And they do, you know, they don't do basically anything that makes sense. They do what they think will be the best for them. On that note, we got to take a break, Dan. It's that time again.
Let's do it.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy, no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use the state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues that the trained staff at the Atlanta Healing Center address and treat every day. Their doctors and counselors with over 40 years of practice in the field of addiction can treat the suffering individual in a thoughtful, compassionate, and experienced manner and guide him or her along the path to recovery. So call 770-696-9862 and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life. More information is also available on the website at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on America's Web Radio, and Dan and...
Is it Dave or David? Is it Mr. David or Master Dave?
Master David.
What do you prefer?
David, that's my name, but I go, a lot of folks call me Dave, or not a lot of folks.
But it's not the Dan and David show.
No, it's a Dan and Dave. That sounds better. That way I can be stealthy and people won't... I'm not Dave, I'm David, so, what the hell, they'll never figure it out. I've got them all fooled.
Yeah.
So, I moving right along, hopefully I made a few enemies today. Another thing came out, I don't know if you heard this or not, about Philadelphia and the shooting of the cop there over the weekend. But
I'm aware of the incident.
Yeah, well, did you hear what came out today? That they have found that this Muslim, and he is, terrorist, I was appalled. I don't know if you saw it or not, but I was appalled at that gutless wonder of a mayor of Philadelphia and what he said at his news conference.
I think the police authorities standing behind him were pretty appalled, too.
I think so, and I think they sort of set the record straight, but... Anyway, it came out today that this Muslim, towelhead, radical, terrorist, whatever you want to call him, is associated with a group of Muslims, terrorists, that their goal is to kill cops. And that, they've put Philadelphia, on alert. They've... I'm sure every cop in the country is going to be hopefully looking over their shoulder. I don't know how to say it. But if I saw a cop that looked like he needed help, I hope I would have the guts to pull over and help the cop, no matter what the situation. What do you think about that? And I think we should, everybody, I don't know why people are, I'm not down on cops. Did I like the last cop that gave me a ticket? But I didn't hate him personally. He did his job. I deserve the ticket. Nobody likes to get a ticket, but you get them. When I think somebody's trying to break in my house, I'm not going to come call some Muslim to come help me because it's probably a Muslim that's doing it anyway. But I'm going to call a cop when I need help. I'm going to call a cop.
Absolutely.
I don't want to kill a cop. And that doesn't mean that there are not a few bad cops or Some of them get a little aggressive maybe, but, you know, we need them. And I, as I was driving to the airport last night, I kept, and I was about 5 miles over the speed limit, and people were whipping in and out doing easy 80, 85, 90 miles an hour in a very congested highway system. And I'm thinking, where are the cops? You know, these people are nuts. And I, you know, we look, cops and firemen and the military, certainly, they put their life on the line every time they report to duty. And they're doing it for you and me. How can you be against them?
Well, you know, I think we should treat our police with respect. I think we should tell them that we appreciate the work that they're doing and the risk that they take, and let them know that they have our support. I hadn't heard that about this terrorist being associated with other terrorists that want to kill cops. That's alarming.
Yeah.
Just reading an article about it. Yeah. You know, so there's no room in your imagination that this was a black man that was disappointed in the treatment of black men by police officers. It's not one of those things. It's Muslim related terrorism.
Well, okay. What was he yelling as he was shooting the cop? The Allah Akbar.
Well, I think he was yelling, "I can't hit him. I can't hit him. I'm missing.
I'm a bad shot."
No, shot.
He was doing the Allah Akbar. Now, which brings me to another thing. Over New Year's Eve, people should understand this. The terrorists are winning. We spent a bajillion dollars for nothing. You know, we shouldn't have had to spend for protection of Times Square and every other city and this and that and on and on and on and on. So they didn't have to do a damn thing. But they won by killing our economy and by making us do things out of fear that we shouldn't have to do. The same thing with this guy. Well, how do we know he was he trained in the United States or was he not? Now, the one thing I want, nobody's answered, but I want to know is that they have found that, I believe in 2013, 2012, that he spent 2 months in Saudi Arabia. And then he also spent time in another Muslim country.
Yeah, 2011 he went to Saudi Arabia and Egypt in 2012.
Where the hell did he get the money for it? Who gave him the money to do that?
Well, maybe he was prudent and he saved his money. I don't know what kind of work he did.
Not much from what I had gathered.
Yeah.
You know, there's a saying in the South, something about something in the wood stack. Well, I think we got, you know, I think they need to find out where did he get the money. Now, and again, my point being, though, it doesn't matter to me where you're radicalized, whether you go to Egypt, you go to Saudi Arabia, you go to the moon, or you sit in your home and watch the crap on TV or on your computer and you become radicalized and you want to go shoot a cop or go out and shoot Dan or whatever, you're still a Taliban at that point. You're still a Muslim. You're still, if that's what you want to believe in, then you should pay the consequences for believing in it.
Yeah, you know, this is a segue into a different discussion for a different time, I suppose, but this guy went to Mecca. Well, you know, all Muslims, that's their highest hope, is to be able to go to Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
And they're encouraged by the Quran to do that because Mecca's a holy city, right? So, and Shia and Sunni alike go to Mecca. But since Saudi Arabia and Iran are having their little spit and spat, Iran has said that Mecca's off limits because Mecca's in Saudi Arabia. That kind of is an interesting twist that I would like to talk about a little bit more maybe next week.
Well, Saudi Arabia should be ecstatic.
Well, I guess. Yeah.
Not to have the creeps come into their country.
What a twisted deal this Middle East situation is. It's like that. It's like a ball of string, isn't it? Trying to sort out, you know, the yellow string from the blue string from the green string, and they're all wadded together in this ball with knots tied.
Oh yeah.
Amazing.
Well. On a lighter side, did you watch any of the football games?
I did. I saw the end of the Seattle game. I saw the missed field goal, which was amazing. I mean, the guy was right there in front of the uprights, and he missed a little chip shot.
Do you think he's out of bed yet this morning?
Pardon?
Do you think he's out of bed yet this morning, or you feel like he's probably still sick?
I feel so sorry for him. I'm glad he's a professional and not a college player. I've seen college kids do that, and I'm sure they go into a funk. I'm hoping this guy is okay mentally. I feel sorry for him.
That would be a lot of pressure. You got, what, two or three seconds to go at most, or you're out of time, and it's... You know, at least I heard one commentator today, which the guy, the player probably said, you know, I'm human, I missed. I made three other field goals, but I missed that one, and I missed it. But I heard one commentator taking up for him that, you know, they were under incredibly disastrous conditions. Even though the field was, quote, unquote, heated, I don't know how you do that, but that, you know, where he was kicking from was harder than a brick and, you know, frozen sod and so forth and so on. So, I mean, and my God, I can think personally of my foot being colder than crap, not wanting really to hit that football. Feel like
yeah, hit that hard football.
Yeah.
I think his other foot slipped a little bit, too.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody say that, but to me, that's the explanation. When he set his left foot, when he planted his left foot, and he's a right-footed kicker, that left foot slipped just a little bit. Because he missed that field goal, you know, by a wide margin.
Oh, yeah.
Had he been at 40 yards away, I don't think the football would have even gone over the end zone. It would have gone out of bounds. I mean, it was...
He hooked it to the left pretty badly, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, everything. Yeah.
Well, Dan, you know what's happening? It's time to put the plug in the jog, as a matter of fact.
And I wanted to complain, too. I had a big complaint here. I bought 5 Powerball tickets, and I didn't win.
Well,
and
next
I am
time.
Upset.
You got to see, the good point is you got to look at the bright side. You got another chance.
I do. Thank you.
So go out and buy some for me as well.
All right, I will. We'll buy 5 together and split them.
We'll see you next week on the Dan and
Dave Show.
Take care.